I've been told that this is not for children. So if you are a child, stop listening.
Whoa, dang, girl.
Oh, I don't like cold openings. I'm just going to belch.
That's probably the best cold opening we ever had.
I didn't mean to.
Celeste, that was fierce. That was fierce. Very fierce.
Fierce.
I just like to say fierce. I think I'm going to say that a lot this one. I'll just be like, that was fierce.
Yeah. You might say it.
Women and fierce.
I'm like Beyonce.
What? I'm like Beyonce. Beyonce's awesome. Don't ever make fun of her.
She's fierce, isn't she?
She is fierce.
What was she in Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
You better shut your mouth right
now. I'm just asking.
I see where you're going with it.
No.
Shut your mouth.
Where is it going?
I feel like
we're the dancers.
I feel like they were better than she is by herself.
Whoa.
Because
ooh,
it's always that one person who's all like, I'm way better than everybody else, and I'm going to totally outshine them.
Yeah, because like Justin Timberlake would have been so much more successful had he stayed with them.
I'm not saying
or
successful.
Or Beyonce, yeah.
I'm just saying you're sellouts. Every last one of you. And with that, we're drinking a hipster bourbon.
No, yeah.
Anyway.
Dang, that was harsh, dude.
Wait.
That was mean. All right. Well,
anything...
But we gotta welcome them.
I don't know what's happening.
Welcome to Verbal Distillery. We're gonna talk a little bit about some whiskey and then find out something
weird.
Get
a little weird here.
I'm Joe.
I am Dr. Ryan.
DR.
I am Celeste.
Wow. Hello there.
One of these days. I think we should just do a few episodes where we just make up our names for them and be like, I am the great Calliope.
And then we have to remember what each one was called.
Ooh,
yeah. Oh, no. That's going to be a mess.
Well, one of us will be just be Pete the Fairy.
Pete the Fairy. I miss Pete the Fairy. He was such a cool guy. I've just never seen arms flap in the wind like a waving arm.
Wacky waving arm flap.
Wacky waving. Yep. That's what they're like. Somebody must have seen Pete the Fairy, and they're like, that is an amazing marketing ploy.
Fairies do exist.
They're wacky, waving, arm inflatable.
It's all about topas.
Exactly. Oh, anybody have anything weird happen?
We're about to edit that out. We're cracking knuckles.
I'm sorry. Well, like I told you, my finger's still healing, so.
How's it a week later?
Well, I must say, it's kind of grown a tree and some moss.
Wow.
I'm a little freaked out a little bit. I've never seen this happen.
You should have a doctor look at that.
Yeah.
Well, there's this little guy sleeping in there, under there. And
shit.
I think it's a fairy. Yeah. But no, it's a gnome. It's an attached gnome. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to live that one down. But I love it.
Like he's got something kind of
mind. I'm trying to think of anything that was weird, but
I don't think I always wish in the wintertime, because it's the sun doesn't come up as early as it does during the summertime.
Oh, is that how that works?
I always all right, so in our kitchen here, it's like I'm telling you not a weird story, I'm telling you what I want to be able to tell you
okay.
a story.
So here's what we want to be weird.
Yeah, because you can see out our kitchen window and you can see the corner of our intersection right here in our room, and I'm like, my God. How awesome would that be if I came down one morning and saw a black-eyed kid just standing there in the corner, just being straight, just staring right at me. I'd be like, I love you, man!
No, thank you.
That would be awesome.
What we did have weird the other day was our that big bang.
Oh, that's true. What was that?
I don't know.
We had a big bang.
It was probably a massive fireworks sort of thing, but it shook our house and a car alarm started going off. And it was... it was just boom, and the cat scattered.
Well, you guys have got a lot of construction going around your area. It could have been somebody, a tanker or something else being dropped or something.
It was weird. But why would a car alarm on our block go off? It was the only car alarm that I heard going off.
A thief?
I almost thought someone hit another car.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
But there...
There was not. I mean, there was nothing.
No cops ever showed up.
It didn't really sound like a gunshot. It just sounded...
Ooh! We did see something weird the other day on Sunday.
Here we go.
Not weird. Oh, no. It was weird because we didn't know what was going on. Megan and I had to go to the grocery store to get a few things. And, when we pulled up the grocery store, there was some guy on the ground holding this woman. Almost in a safety thing. He was behind her and he was holding her by her arms. His legs wrapped around her legs so she couldn't move. And she's screaming, get out of here! She was going crazy. And we're looking at each other, and I'm kind of like, man, do we need to call 911? She's right. She says, somebody's called 911. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Somebody has probably called 911. I just feel probably important, you know. I just want to do something, you know. Can I show up in a cape? I've called 911. Nah, you know. But so we went into the grocery store. They obviously had it contained, but, like, managers from the grocery store were coming out and looking, and, you know, they're all over there. And, like, so we went to the grocery store, got our few things that we needed, and as we're leaving, finally the police showed up and whatnot. And what we think had happened was this woman, because, like, when we walked out, the woman was no longer there. And a paddy wagon and an ambulance did show up. But we did not see which one they put her in. So, like, honestly, the way she was screaming and yelling, you almost thought, both of us were kind of like, okay, was this somebody who had a psychotic break, you know, had bipolar, had a mental issue happen. And, like, maybe she was, like, wailing around out there and somebody was just trying to calm her down. Well, when we walked out, there was, like, a handle of liquor sitting on the sidewalk there. And it still had, like, their security thing that this grocery store puts on top of it. So we're like, oh. So I have no idea still what happened, but one has to piece together. I'm thinking, like, she probably went to the grocery store, tried to grab a handle of alcohol and ran out of the store.
What was she drinking?
Yeah, do you remember?
Honestly, it looked like Cutty Sark.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, it was a very green bottle and had a yellow label. So, I mean, that's where my mind goes immediately. When I see a very green bottle and a yellow label, I'm like, oh, it's Cutty Sark.
Jameson?
No, it's too green. No. Jameson is a dark green. Cutty Sark is like a lighter, like maybe a more.
Cutty Sark.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what we think had happened. But it was like, we started talking about, like, well, wait a minute, was it an employee grabbing? I was like, no. I think the guy who was holding her would look, he was like in, like, casual clothes. He didn't look like he was wearing this grocery store's uniform. So
who goes out of their way to tackle somebody stealing liquor? That's what I want to know.
To be in the news. Go home with his chest a little puffed out. I was like, guess what I did today? I stopped somebody from stealing a handle of liquor.
Yep.
Well, Captain America, have a seat. How can I help you? Like,
was it 15 bucks or something?
Yeah. It's like, she just wanted to get her Sunday drink on, you know? I mean, and quite frankly, you know why Megan and I were here at the grocery store? To get her Sunday drink on. It's like that song where it's like, man, one time I walked up. It was like one of those speak word songs. I can't find and remember the name of it. But it's like.
What?
What? Okay, those spoken word songs. It's not a rap song. It's different. It's not a rap.
William Shatner?
No. But it's along those lines. Like spoken word with music. And they're like, one time a homeless man asked me for some change. And I thought, he's just going to use it on alcohol. And half a second later, I would like, well, that's what I'm using it for.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
So, all right. So what are we drinking tonight?
Well, this is an Oregonian bourbon from Portland, Oregon. And it's called Burnside. And so what they do, apparently, their website is okay, but there's not really much info.
Okay.
Is they take a blend of four straight whiskey. So they do take straight bourbon whiskey. And then they finish it for a little while in different barrels that are all crafted from Oregonian wood.
Well, it says Oregon oaked. Oregon oak. So it's all oak barrels then.
Yeah, but it's from Oregon. The state Oregon. Oregon.
How many times do I going to say Oregon?
It's like when he uses, oh, the interwebs? Have you gone on the interwebs?
Yes.
Like, dude, just say the web or internet. Just stop saying interwebs.
It's interwebs. And this one in particular was finished in, he's holding the bottle so he can tell us.
Crafted with straight bourbon whiskey, finished in Oregon oak cask.
Yeah, so it's finished in Oregon. They have other ones that are like finished in oak cask.
Garyana finished small batch.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that is either.
I don't know what that means.
Google Garyana?
Well, fine, I'll Google
it. Why wouldn't you Google it?
Right now.
I don't know what it is. Well, Google it.
And then Goose Hollow RSV Bourbon is what it says. Reserve. RSV is reserve, but I don't know what Goose Hollow is all about.
It's Oregon white oak. It's all it is.
Okay.
Whoa, that was aggressive.
Sorry. I like the bottle shape. Bottle shape's good. I cannot stand the label. The label is horrible.
Oh, I like
like it?
I can't stand it. It's too simple. There's nothing to it.
Too simple?
I don't like it.
Apparently the Burnside is after Burnside Street or Avenue in Portland.
That must be significant. It's kind of like our Westport, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the label. It's just very basic. There's nothing unique about it. It's modern. It doesn't stand
out. Joe doesn't like modern.
Well, I like some modern things. I think you can do modern, but this just basically looks like somebody typed it out on Microsoft Word. I mean,
yeah,
doesn't look like there's too much thought to it. I don't like that.
I think their old label actually had, like, Colonel Burnside on it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and now they don't. And they also don't tell you because it says produced and bottled by, so we have no idea where they actually get the bourbon from.
It says produced and bottled by.
But it doesn't say distilled. So, it could be distilled somewhere in Oregon, it could be distilled from MGP, it could be distilled from, we don't know. They don't tell you.
Yeah, there's no age statement on this whatsoever, so we don't know how old this is. It's pretty young, it's pretty clear.
Finished in the Northwest is basically what it is. Now, their old Burnside was 4 years old, so they could be 4 years old.
I'm literally getting no nose.
I mean, it's probably 2 to 4 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting like no nose on this.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, not even alcohol, really.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything.
And it's 92 proof, so it's not the lowest, but it's not the highest. Are you also, what the heck is that?
I think it's spit in it.
Ew. That was not in the bottle, I don't think.
Ew, I hope it wasn't. Are there floaties in here? No.
Yeah, so I get no nose off of this.
No, there's no nose.
I mean, I get alcohol.
I don't even get that.
Really?
I didn't even get that. Man, this is... Wow, this is even less than basic. Like, I literally just get, as far as flavors go, all I'm getting is just a little bit of smoke and then alcohol. That's it.
Yeah, there's just not much to it. Not even, I mean, it's kind of young. It's not actually
Young horrible. Would have a bit more of a harder feel.
It's not horrible for being young. The problem is, you're right. They're, even at a slightly higher proof, I mean, that's 6% higher alcohol than the, you know, base level.
Right.
Which is significant. Almost 10% more alcohol. It just doesn't really
Do you know what the retail on this is? I know it was gifted to you. I know this was gifted.
I can look it up, but it's sold out there.
Yeah, it's kind of like probably like the Chikura that I did, reviewed. I'm willing to bet you this is probably about a $30 bottle.
Well, I'm going to look at Total Wine. It's listed on their website. Total Wine, sometimes they're a little more expensive.
Yeah,
but
at least
it gives you an idea what you might spend in a big store. But of course,
Total Wine is low proof. This is really low proof.
Total Wine's website is always so freaking slow.
I thought it was higher proof.
No, it's 46%.
This is $25. Now I don't know if it's this variety because there's multiple varieties of Burnside.
But what did it say? $26?
$25.
All right. I mean,
yeah, this is the old version, so I don't know what the new version. I'm guessing maybe 40-ish. 25 to 40. Let's see somewhere in there.
I don't like this. I'm sorry. This is below average for me. I mean, this is all I get is smoke, and then I can taste a little bit of the alcohol, and that's about it.
I think the nice redeeming quality about this is the fact that it doesn't just taste like sweet corn like it's only 6 months old.
True. That's very true.
Because a lot of young whiskeys just taste so.
Well, they have a burn to it. And this has no burn, which is a plus. I mean.
I feel like when we tasted this the other day, it was more corny.
It was.
Sweeter,
maybe it's opened up a little bit.
And now I don't get that.
No.
Yeah.
I liked it better the other day.
It'd be interesting to try it. I don't necessarily need a whole bottle, but if I'm ever up there again, like try their other varieties that finish like in wine barrels and stuff like that. Because they might not be horrible. This is the trend that we'll see. We don't need to go off too much.
It's micro distillers.
In micro distillers and craft distillers is Which, okay, I get it. The whiskey industry is still through the freaking roof, and it opens the doors for these guys, but I'm sorry, like, 99 out of 100 of them are just not that good. And even the other one is just okay. Because here's the thing with freaking whiskey, is you have to sit on it.
Yeah.
No matter what you try.
And a business model that said, hey, and like, if you present anybody, investors, with a business model saying, hey, listen, we want to start this business. We see the potential, but it's going to be 10 years before we see any return. Yeah. Any investor is going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, what do you guys, I mean, for me, below average, this is a hard 3.
Yeah, I would say 3.
I feel like I liked this more the other day, so I'm a little disappointed. I think it's better than some of the cheaper, shittier bourbons that I've had, but
true.
Given that we've had so many good things, it's like, yeah, it's really, it's not there. But.
Yeah, and one can argue that when people are critiquing whiskey, you could be like, well, you've had so much good stuff now. It's like, well, you know what? So what? You know, I mean, we're not saying you shouldn't drink this. We're
I feel just like saying, it's better on the of the crappier whiskeys. Sorry, Drew and Caitlin, I love you.
I don't know who you are. I don't care.
I mean, it has a few...
I don't like this.
It has a few redeeming qualities to it, but, you know, for me, a lot of it comes down to when I think about it and I try to start to analyze is this something that I'm going to reach for, maybe not on a daily basis, but even on a weekly basis? I just don't think I would because, no. Again, the problem is, and we try not to compare, but you can't not compare.
I would throw, at best, I would throw this in with some Coke Zero.
Yeah, I would
mix it probably. Yeah.
And it might make a good cocktail.
You know what? No, there's not enough complex flavors in there. That's the thing.
But you guys, this is the thing about bourbon. It was given to us by friends. And every time
your friends, not my friends.
They could be your friends if you weren't such an ass.
Yeah, no, you said he was the asshole.
Well, you're both assholes.
Yeah.
You're the dickhole, he's the asshole.
No, no. He's more of a dick. I'm more of the asshole.
Anyway, I don't really want to be involved
in
that
conversation.
Every
time we drink about it, we're going to think about them, and it's a thought that can, glad they.
And I really appreciate that they thought. That's what's great.
And then we got the opportunity to try it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was very thoughtful of them, totally, but you still got to be honest on what you're tasting.
But I would say if you are in Portland, and Drew and Caitlin, I think Drew might listen to it, like, thank you. But honestly, if you're going to want some whiskey, just buy stuff that's either from Kentucky or like Scotland, Ireland. You know?
No, don't say that. I'm open. I mean, there's Tennessee stuff, and there's fine. A lot of micro distills.
Well, honestly, I'm just saying, don't necessarily go towards the go towards a brand that you.
What you have to be aware of with the micro and the craft brew people is this: is like, quite frankly, if I went to Portland, Oregon, and I was there on vacation, right? And let's say I walk into a store and I see this, and like, oh yeah, and I asked the guy behind the counter and said, hey. I want to taste new stuff. I want to know what's out there. And somebody said, hey, here's our local Portland, Oregon craft distiller. And they were like, this is a $20 bottle. They'd be like, why don't you try it? Yeah, I would totally try it for that price point. Totally.
Yeah, 20.
But if you're talking about some of these craft distillers who have either, who are like trying to be like, oh, it's a $50 bottle, like the old Rippy.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like Peerless.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2 years old and they want $120 and it's like, no, you can go screw yourself.
No.
That's I'm done. No means no. I'm done.
Just masturbate. So yeah. You're not screwing somebody else over.
It's like, I'm done. I mean, like, but if you're a micro distiller and you're doing something like this, this is the one thing I will give this organ, oh my God, where is their even name? But they don't even have their name.
Burnside.
No,
that's the name of the bottle. What's the East Side Distilling?
East Side Distilling.
Oh. Yeah, that's the one thing I got to tell them. You need to have East Side Distilling on the front of this bottle somewhere. Having it on the back, that's crazy.
I wonder if they make a gin or a vodka.
They do. That's how a lot of these companies afford to even be that, is they do a gin
times,
vodka.
Yeah. Those are really good.
I don't like gin or vodka.
I like them both.
I know you do. And I'm not, I mean, that's great. I'm just saying it's like, I would tell anybody listening, if you go to some place with a micro distiller and you can get it for a reasonable price, buy it.
Yeah.
And try it.
But I wouldn't pay 50 plus for it.
No. But don't buy into that whole $50, $60 up range. That's ridiculous.
And I think we've said this before, like Joe was just saying, a lot of these places let you try. They have a lot of open samples. You just have to ask.
Yeah, you have to ask. Like they
don't really advertise it. But
no, because anybody walking in would be like, yeah, let me have the... You know, it's kind of like, you know, Costco and you have the free sample.
See the same
day.
Homeless guy over and over again. Can I use your bathroom? Oh, can I get a shot of whiskey?
I'm a connoisseur. Your seams are all frayed everywhere. This is the end thing.
It is Portland.
Also, Joe Dolan.
Joe Dolan.
So I guess we're all... Ryan, did you give your point on this?
Yeah, what's yours?
I'd give it about a 3.5-ish.
Wow, you're generous today. That's very rare.
That half point.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just thinking back to last week's episode of Dickel. Like, to me, I'd almost say Dickel is maybe more disappointing than this.
Well, that's because you know it's a 9-year.
Yeah.
That's so that's why I don't think this... Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think this is that much lower than that. Overall.
No. I'm with you on that. I get your point. Like, it is disappointing to see a 9-year that's just not that complex. That's a hard one to swallow.
That Dickel.
God, we're still fourth grade.
Love
it. She said penis.
Penis.
All right, so what do you got for us, Celesta?
Yeah, what do you got for us?
Mine is called...
What is it called?
Tell me now.
You ready?
No, I'm not.
Birds of a feather.
Oh,
do they flock together?
No.
Ryan, I don't remember you stating your sources in the last episode.
I did. No, I told you the book it came from, remember? Okay, and I said I was going to actually get the book.
Never mind.
You just never read it.
I only read an excerpt.
My sources, of course, are Wikipedia.
Oh, that's... We know this is valid.
A YouTube channel.
Wow.
And an actual book called Boomer Bust, Bird Stories for a Dry Country. Or Dry Country, yeah.
Sorry. Bird Stories. I kind of feel like we're walking into a Bob Ross episode here.
Happy He's little... He's a painter.
I know, but birds are always
boring. And we're going to put a bird over here.
I don't like birds. I mean, I like birds out in nature. I just don't like having birds as pets.
Well, he's already written this episode off, so I guess it's you and me, honey bunch.
I'll find some way to insert myself. Maybe with a little Dickel.
Ryan, tickle is Dickel.
No! Oh.
No, we're good.
Remove your hands, sir.
It's so warm down there.
Pedo.
Has it recovered? I mean, are you?
No, I just like the way the British say it. Oh, that accent? Oh, I told you that would thing recovered in 15 minutes. It was a grazing wound, which is it's like in the cop show where the guy literally the bullet just grazes his shoulder. He's like, I've been shot! Oh my god, I've been shot!
It's only a flesh wound.
No, it wasn't like that, where it was lobbed off.
Good. That would be tragic. After World War I, a bunch of ex-soldiers from Australia and England became farmers in Western Australia.
Why? From England? Just because it was still a territory?
Yeah.
So they went
It was still a territory.
I'm going to move down under.
The Australian government thought they were killing a few birds with one stone by setting up soldier settlement programs. So, the vets had a place to go after the war and kind of restart their lives. Mm-hmm. Areas of Australia that weren't previously inhabited now were. And they could give the country...
It's a massive...
Maybe they shouldn't be inhabited. Maybe is the question.
They could give the country an agricultural jump. Farmers were encouraged to plant wheat, and in return, the government promised to help them in the form of subsidies.
Mm-hmm,
however, those subsidies, thanks in part to the Great Depression, never came, and wheat prices continued to fall. The cost of living continues to rise, and now we have a lot of angry farmers, a lot of wheat, and no money for anything.
Can I just say, based on what we've learned from the previous episode with Ledbetter, is there should be fairy evolution happening at this time, correct?
There
should be. In the wheat.
Where are you going with this?
In the cereal, right?
You are correct.
So maybe...
There's no cereal. It's just wheat.
Yeah, but
he said it started in the plants. Cereals. And wheat is a cereal wheat. Cereal grain.
Or maybe what we're realizing is that Australia could have used some fairies.
Maybe.
I mean, England seems to have a monopoly.
Ledbetter died there. So.
Yeah.
That's true. He did die in Sydney. Yeah.
No, Perth.
It's all the same to me. It's Australia.
That's whatever.
Foster's. We don't even drink that shit.
He died in Phoenix. No, actually, he died up in Maine. Well, same thing.
It's all America.
Yeah.
America.
In October of 1932, Australian farmers were getting ready to harvest their wheat.
Why do you have to say Australian? I mean, aren't they just farmers?
The farmers
we were speaking to.
They also, though, were threatening to refuse to deliver it because they weren't getting paid what they were promised.
I don't blame them on that note.
No.
Yeah.
There was a lot of tension.
I mean, you can always eat it, right?
Then,
cows.
Drought arrives.
Oh, shit.
With what remains of the wheat and the water being brought in for livestock, as many as 20,000 emus
begin to migrate towards the coast and the farms.
Holy shit! So what did that look like?
Actually,
hi there. Is that a dust up?
Nope. I think those are emus.
Oh, I believe those are emus.
What the hell?
Run for your lives!
And it's like, Simba!
Well, at least now I have a source of food, right?
Hmm. On the coast.
So, I think you guys know what emus are. They're like a smaller version of the ostrich.
Yeah.
They are native to Australia.
My kids ride in school.
Really fast.
We call him, we call one Crocodile and the other Dundee.
That's cute.
That's
come on. You knew that joke was coming.
They can stand as high as 6 feet tall and weigh as much as 130 pounds. And they can run up to 30 miles an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, with that's why they're getting to school slowly.
With a stride of 9 feet.
Oof.
Yeah. When they're really going.
Personally, I'm picturing the Tauntaun from Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Oof, 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 oof.
Yep. The emus begin destroying the crops. Not only were they eating everything, but they broke holes in fences, which then let other animals in, like rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
More sources of food.
Or for the destruction. Here. I mean, you can only eat so many emus and rabbits. 20,000 emus, Ryan.
Mm.
Like I think farms. If Martha Stewart can find 50 ways to cook a turkey, I think we can do something with some emu.
That's probably true. I've also read that in other parts of Australia, they were also experiencing the plague of mice.
I wouldn't eat those.
No, don't eat those. But mice are like, were brought to Australia. They weren't.
Yeah, they came off the ships, didn't they? Yeah.
So they just.
Damn prisoners
crazy.
And their mice.
Watch videos of that on YouTube. That's amazing.
There's snakes and stuff in Australia. They didn't eat the mice?
Not enough, I guess.
Jeez.
There's also white people, and they're the worst predators in all.
Okay. The farmers were now really pissed. The crops were being destroyed before their eyes, and they couldn't afford the cost of fencing because, like I said, the cost of living kept going up, and they couldn't even afford basic supplies.
Can I intervene here for a second?
Yeah.
Here's how I feel like it went down. When they saw not only the emus, but also the rabbits.
Doing an Australian accent.
And then the mice. This is what they responded with. Cranky!
Oh, God.
Cranky!
Because he can't say cranky.
And I'm literally picturing Ryan in a chair.
No, I'm saying it wrong.
God. In a chair with a pipe in one hand, just rocking back and forth and being like, crikey! There's something out by the fence over there.
Except Ryan says cronky.
Cranky! Oh. Cranky! And then his wife sticks out like, where are you from? I assumed I married an Australian. Oh, I'm sorry, my dear. It's a pedo!
Cranky, there's a pedo. Oh, Lord.
It is crikey.
There you go,
it's
our
crikey.
Australian listeners.
I know. Yeah. We had zero.
We maybe had one.
Well, maybe. I actually really want to go to Australia.
Yeah.
I want to find Nemo.
They don't want you there.
Emo?
Find Nemo.
Nemo in Emo. He wants to find a Nemo.
Nemo.
He gets off the plane. He's like, is there an Emo? Is there an Emo?
Is anybody cutting themselves?
Can you put me
all
to the nearest hot topic?
Girl, and then all of a sudden he sees one girl wearing a black t-shirt. And he just runs up to her and goes, are you an Emo? She's like, why are you touching me?
Damn, okay, Americans.
God damn it. He just starts, like, grabbing anybody wearing black. Are you an emo? Are you an emo?
All right, anyway. Let's get back on topic.
Yes, let's move on.
Normally, to lodge a complaint revolving around crops, you would go to the Minister of Agriculture.
Of course
you
would. Who's not an emo.
But since the farmers are ex-army guys, and they already distrust, you know, the government because they weren't getting their subsidies.
So they show up with a gun.
Wise.
And they, you know, they were sent to war.
Yeah. I don't know.
They decide to set up a meeting with the Minister of Defense, Sir John.
Why'd you make us fight the emos?
There were no emos.
At least not yet.
And I should have looked this up, but, like, Australia doesn't have a lot of guns. I don't know when they decided to take
them. It was after, like, that big shooting. They
it
had,
was
like, they had, like, a
90s.
Yeah,
okay,
they had,
so
like,
that
a...
Was later.
No, the date might be wrong, but there was later on, like, there was this huge shooting. Like, this kid came out of nowhere and just, like, freaking... I mean, podcasts have talked about this. Like, Murder covered it. Case Files covered it. You know, all of them covered it.
So at this point, they might have a gun or two in their house, but...
Well, they're ex-military, right?
Right next to their emos.
Yep.
But obviously it's not doing the job, so, well, what are you supposed to do against 20,000 birds? They request machine guns.
Sweet.
To kill the birds. And Piercy is like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
One of his arguments is the birds will make great target practice for, you know, the soldiers.
I'm literally picturing that moment. You guys ever seen the movie Young Guns?
No.
You know about Billy the Kid?
No.
There's a scene in the end of the movie, like, they're holed up in the house. And I love the Young Gun movies. They were great. And they're holed up in the house. And, like, the military comes in. Or, well, I wouldn't say military, but, you know, local authorities. They roll up. And they pull the blanket off. And there's a Gatling gun. Mm. And this is what I'm picturing. And, like, there's, like, 10,000 emus out there. And he's like, crikey.
Okay, you're jumping the gun here. Slow down. Piercy did have a few stipulations. The guns could only be used by current military personnel, so all these ex-military guys, you know.
So they want people trained in using firearms.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but these guys were.
The farmers had to provide room and board for the soldiers.
Oh, gosh.
And.
My God, I've had to get rid of pests. And, like, he has to stay at your house. Fuck that.
And they had to pay for any and all ammunition that was used.
Oh, gosh.
I know where this is going.
Many think that the government also agreed to this because they thought it would be good PR because they had kind of screwed these guys. They screwed the farmers. But now they're like, oh, we're helping you by trying to kill these pests for you.
Just pay for our bullets. And they walk out in the morning having their coffee. And there's guys like shooting at tin cans like, yeah, it just cost you about 20 bucks.
Exactly. And then the army also wanted them to collect 100 skins of the emus. So that their feathers could be used to make hats for the light horsemen that were used in Australia.
The what?
And they're kind of like Mounties, but they're Australian.
Oh.
And apparently...
Light horsemen, okay.
Emu feathers make good hats.
You can barely see them.
Yeah.
You can barely see them.
Because the Mountie always gets his man.
Mm-hmm.
Their opacity level is like at a 30. Okay.
So the war on the emus was scheduled for that same month in October, but was delayed.
The war on emus was scheduled. I love that line.
Scheduled war.
Scheduled war.
It's like, and the buffalo were next.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, really?
No.
It's been a few hundred years. I think we've, I mean, I make fun of AIDS all the time, and that's only been like 20.
Bad weather, though, caused the birds to kind of disperse, and they had to wait until the next month before they started the actual war.
So, November.
November. And this is...
So the emu went, scatter, scatter, scatter!
Basically, they're good at doing that. Australia's flipped from us, so they're November, December.
Yeah, their winter is our summer. That's their summer. Our summer is their winter.
So they're in
their
summer.
Yeah. Right now, they got snow. Or they're just cold.
Or they're cold.
Or they're just watching Crocodile Dundee.
They probably are just watching Crocodile Dundee.
And they get to the third one.
I bet they never watch that movie.
I bet they do. And then they get to the third one and they're just like, damn it.
I didn't even know there was a third one.
All right, somebody get Shazam out. Let's just watch Shazam.
By now the emus had regrouped and the soldiers went to the farmer's aid armed with 2 Lewis guns. And a couple of gunners to use those guns.
What's a Lewis gun? Is that a...
Yeah.
And 10,000 rounds of ammunition.
Oh, that's a big gun then.
Lewis guns were machine guns weighing about 28 pounds. They could fire 500 rounds a minute.
Nice.
And had an effective range of 880 yards or about a half a mile.
But they were genetically matched to only people named Lewis.
Okay.
Who could shoot them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
On November 2nd, a group of about 50 emus was sighted. The men were dispatched. They opened fire.
It's like a posse going after a criminal. It's like, the birds are here. Go get them.
Exactly. They opened fire, but the emus are out of range of the gunfire.
Of course.
The townspeople try to herd them back into an ambush, but the emus ain't dumb, and they split up into small groups and made a run for it.
The emus ain't dumb.
Ain't dumb.
I ain't dumb.
It said that perhaps a dozen birds were killed.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mama didn't raise no fool.
On November 4th, they got a second chance. They established an ambush.
Ambush.
Ambush of the emu.
That is like a very bougie way of saying ambush.
It's fancy.
It's like
fancy
ambush. Oh dear, honey. We got Samantha over here, and we got an ambush going on. We're going to ambush her.
Anyway.
Okay. An ambush near a dam.
I'm sorry. You have to say ambush. I like ambush. Did. I like an ambush.
Ambush near a dam where more than 1,000 emus were approaching. Wow. Only one gun is positioned here at the time because they thought, hey, we only need one machine gun to kill all these birds.
And then somebody went, hey, have you heard of this new thing called dynamite?
Ooh, that would have been amazing. This time, the gunner waits, he was smart about it, until the birds are actually close enough for him to hit with his gun, and he opens fire. But, again, about a dozen birds are killed before the gun jams, and the rest just run away.
Jams or overheats back then, usually,
for years. Yeah.
Well, the Gatling gun would overheat tremendously. Like that, I mean, it seemed like a powerful thing, but it would just be like, and it'd be like, it just got too hot. Like shit would just ignite right there.
I did read a little bit about that with this gun, and it did have like a new cooling element.
What was it? Some guy just going,
maybe. It was supposed to be pretty high tech for World War I era.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously still not anything like we have today. Over the next few days, the army moves south, where the birds are reported to be fairly tame, but they still weren't very successful. The problem is that they would kill some, but by the time they reloaded, the birds had quickly run away.
Did they ever think of the idea of just giving somebody a hammer and just like walking and going, ka-dunk, ka-dunk?
The birds run fast, you know? They're not just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, but if you approach them as a friend and just be like, I am one of you.
I bet they never tried that.
No.
Yeah. You're probably right.
And then we're like, thud! And be like, I don't know what happened.
Why didn't they think of that?
Some said that the emus seemed to know exactly how far away to go to be out of the range of the machine. Like they would run so far and be like,
so Australia outsourced their issue to Japan and hired some kamikaze pilots just to be like, throwing up!
And they learned that the birds are more structured than they thought. Each group of emus kept a lookout.
Really?
Yep. This lookout was the tallest of the bunch and warned the others when it saw anyone approaching. Hey. Alan!
Dude!
Alan!
Alan! Alan!
Why?
Alan!
You're hitting me.
Alan! Daytime! Nighttime! No, we're not doing that! Alan! Alan! You need to go back. Alan, go.
Is that a machine gun?
Why is his name Alan?
That's from a YouTube. Dude, seriously?
No.
Get out more.
God, no.
I mean, get on the computer more.
That's not him getting out more. It means stop hating pop culture.
Yes.
Just be like, oh, wait, this has 10,000 views? I only look at videos that have one view.
Well, it's not a cat. He's not watching it.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's like this just cat sleeping. He's like, this is so calming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right. So since they couldn't sneak up on him, which they tried multiple times, they decided to mount a gun to the Jeep.
Nice.
Or a Jeep.
I would have mounted one to an emu. And then, like, infiltrated them from behind. What's going on here, Steve? Oh, this is just my new look. It's like I got a new suit here. I mean, never mind the human. I'm just like, you know, I like steampunk. I like steampunk. It's just my thing. It's what I'm doing. Man, that's kind of cool. I like the man.
Look over there.
I like the cool. It's like, yeah, you know, some of my posse like that. I mean, they're coming right over there if you guys want to take a look. I mean, right over there. No, just take a look. And as I turn.
That would have been a genius plan.
And then in the back alley, the emu gets paid off.
Gatling gun mounted emus.
Here's your wheat, sir.
Thank you.
And the gnomes cried that day. I am so detached from this emotionally.
All right, so you would think that mounting a machine gun to a Jeep...
I'm literally like, would if work. This is the first time they've ever done it, I'm literally picturing them going, this is amazing, dude. This is the greatest idea you ever had.
It is.
And one time, you told me to drink beer through my nose. And I was like, you're an idiot. You're not an idiot. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden, the car like literally goes, like, hits the ignition, he hits the accelerator, it goes 2 feet, and flips over onto its side.
It's not that bad. I mean, it is 1932, right? Like, they were still figuring things out. What can we do with cars and guns? Oh, let's put them together.
Attach them.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Transformers. More than meets the eye.
However, once the birds begin to scatter, the Jeep can only follow one bird. One
the Gatling gun wants to go that way. Yeah. The Jeep wants to go that way.
So,
I'm sorry, the Lewis gun.
The Lewis gun. And the terrain is so rough that the Jeep has a hard time even keeping up with the emu. And then the gunner...
Why can't you do anything? I don't know. You tell me.
The gunner actually doesn't take one shot because he's just holding on for dear life. Not one shot.
Who would win?
I mean, oh my God, I'm solely picturing some guy just going, yeah, exactly. Is that the firing? No, that's my voice.
How many birds did we kill?
Nothing. I'm just holding on. I thought these were handles.
All right, so a week later, only a small number of birds had been killed. Some reports say about 50. Others claim 500. But even if it was 500, I mean, there was 20,000 of these things in the area, so it's not a lot.
That's insane.
Meanwhile, they had used up 2,500 rounds of ammunition.
Holy shit.
And each, remember, the farmers had to pay for all this.
Yeah, the farmer's like, I need this more itemized. Explain how many emos did these rounds kill.
50. Not enough.
The army is then recalled. They surrender.
We did a bad job. What?
I surrender to the emus.
Why are they raising a white flag? What the hell does that mean? I'm just... Just ignore it. Just eat your food.
I like how one commander was like, okay, yeah, we didn't kill a lot of birds, but on the bright side, we didn't lose any men either. Oh, good. I'm glad the emus didn't kill.
You are now the official general of the entire Australian military.
Well, remember, it was the emu war, so. Yeah.
And then, like, his yearly review comes up, and it's like, so, General, how do you feel that your military did? We weren't in any war. Well done. Keep up the good work. Well done. How's the emu situation going on?
I don't want
to. Am I in Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Screw you.
It's confidential.
Yeah. That's a Black Ops division kind of thing. We've got some men undercover that are in the emu population.
They are currently hatching from eggs as we speak.
We sent in our first undercover battalion. It was quite disturbing when we got back. I mean, they assimilated completely. And,
I know where you're going.
Let's just come to our, story.
Like Dr. Monroe's Island.
Yep. There's some guy in the room just going,
all right. Summarizing the Coles, ornithologist Dominic Cerventi.
God, they could use some philosophers.
Commented. Oh, no.
Theosophers.
Theosophers.
Whatever.
Well,
both would be good.
Ornithologist is a bird person.
Yes.
The machine gunner's dream of point-blank firing into masses of emus was soon dissipated. The
emu said grenade, pin, pull, throw.
They should have, like, done, like, yeah, air raids or something. The emu command had
Bazookas are awesome.
The emu command had evidently ordered guerrilla tactics, and its unwieldy army soon split. Are you
trying to outthink the emus?
The emus are smarter than...
It's not possible.
The Australians.
You can't. So much.
Yeah. Emus are the most intelligent bird ever.
I swear, last time I saw, like, the Australian Prime Minister stand up, it was an emu.
It is on their flag.
They've infiltrated our government!
It's on their flag.
Emus are on their flag.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Okay, guerrilla tactics and its unwieldy army soon split into innumerable small units that made the use of military equipment uneconomic.
What year was this when this was
1932.
This is 1932? I think people in Wisconsin were hunting back then. They should have just, like, shipped a whole bunch of those guys over there and be like, no, we got this.
Definitely. Props to Wisconsin. Major Meredith said that the emus had the invulnerability. Thank you. Of tanks, and could continue running even when badly injured.
Did you just say emus had the invulnerability of tanks?
I didn't say that. Major Meredith said that.
Okay, so Major Meredith needs to stop being a major and go back.
He suggested that they have an army of emus because they could take so many bullets and keep going that it would just be a dream army.
Didn't the concept of them missing never apply? It's like, I've never seen, have you ever seen G.I. Joe? Cobra couldn't hit shit. Do you think that might apply to this situation too?
But here's the thing. At one point, an emu is hit by a car, and when they...
and he went, that's the solution.
Yeah, exactly. Killed it. But when they looked at it, it had 5 bullet holes in it. And it was still running around.
Like holes or grazes.
130 pounds, 6 foot tall animal.
I don't know. I've seen 100.
I don't know.
I hunt emu pretty often.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're an avid. I only do it with a knife.
A really big knife.
Of course.
So they quit their first attempt November 8th, but the devastation being caused by the birds gets so bad that 4 days later, they are given permission to try again.
Hmm. And America's just like, we got a bomb. Want us to drop the bomb?
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Just itching to do it.
We were going
to
use it in another country.
We needed to test it somewhere first.
Did we have it then?
They probably were.
Close. Wait, you said it was close. The 30s?
It's close.
They're no, close. They didn't. I think it was like late 30s, early 40s.
But anyway.
America classic.
Where were you?
4 days later. Yeah, okay. The Minister of Defense explained to the Senate that the emus posed a serious agricultural threat. So they're like, look, I know it didn't work out great, but we gotta do something.
He like walks up in his t-shirt. It's like a picture of an emu head. It's got the circle, the cross through it. It's like, fuck emus.
No more emus.
I need a second chance.
I hate them all.
Because he's got that one
they
emu.
They took my wife.
Yeah. That one emu that keeps like looking at him and getting away.
Right. He's like.
God, I wish you could have caught that.
And that emu is like, it's like that squirrel who has the eye, but it's an emu. Exactly. It's the emu, like his emu just goes, and it closes up on its face, and like literally you can see this much of its teeth. He's like,
because emus have teeth.
I will call you Thaddeus. We will destroy Thaddeus. I don't know. I gotta give people names. It helps me humanize the emu. Wow.
Thaddeus the emu.
Thaddeus the emu. Actually, that plays, doesn't it?
No.
He's got 5 bullet holes in it, but he still runs strong.
Thaddeus the strong.
In his culture, he's Thaddeus the strong. Well, young emu, have you gone and seen Thaddeus the strong? He's faced down tanks. I think they were jeeps. Shut up! You weren't there.
All right. Well, the next 2 days go a little bit better, and they manage to kill 40 birds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 40.
By December 2nd, soldiers were killing...
So they've spent like $10 million, killed 80 birds of 20,000, and they're like going, yeah.
They get a little bit better. By December 2nd, soldiers were killing about 100 emus per week. The end of it all, and I don't know how long they kept up the second wave of killing, but at the end of it all, a report would state that about 986 emus were killed.
Whoa.
With 10,000 rounds of ammunition.
Holy crap. I'm just picturing the way this ends, the emus just going, we'll go to Melbourne. We'll go to Melbourne. Good night, Sydney. We love you.
Just had to ask.
We'll go to Melbourne.
I think it's on the opposite side of the
country. Whatever. They'll go somewhere else. Okay. They'll leave.
They claim that it took about 10...
I'm tired of getting grazed. Well, you mean shot? No, grazed. Yes. These people can't hit shit. No. I mean, seriously, we can have 10,000 of us in a line and maybe 5 of us will get hit.
I mean, this is where the expression, you can't hit a broadside of an emu can. Right here.
The report also claimed it took about 10 rounds... to bring down one bird.
Well, yeah. Well, based on... Aim.
What's wrong with Tim? Oh, he's just shooting like the rest of us. He's like... It's like he gets in his hands like that cartoon. You know, when like the guy like picks up the gun. And he's like, oh, just pull the trigger. Okay. And the gun just like goes in every direction. It's like, how did I do? The bullets went. not where you wanted them to, but they went forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Farmers would again request help from the military in the following years, but they would be denied by the government.
You can't aim.
This was an embarrassment.
It didn't work.
However, they did have a bounty system in place.
Ooh.
And this proved much more effective. In 1934, so 2 years later, 57,000 bounties were claimed over a six-month period.
Yeah.
And then I read, though, okay, so 57,000 sounds like a ton, but it was all nuisance birds. So they considered emus, crows, and a thing called cassowary, which looks like a mini emu, kind of. But
and then there's the one asshole who showed up with a dingo going, yeah, I'm claiming this. Dude, come on. Dog. What?
The dingo ate my
butt. They were paid 25 cents a head.
Sweet.
At one point, at the height of these bounties, 333,000 heads were collected and paid out.
What?
Wow. It's amazing that they
didn't, like... How are they not extinct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and that counted for... they also counted eggs in that, too. So if you brought eggs, they'd pay you.
So if you, like, stepped in and were like, oh, shit. Oh yeah. That's a bounty.
That's a quarter right there.
That's a piece of bubble gum.
Or whatever you
get. Oh, a Foster's. Smack. Nobody drinks Foster's here.
They don't?
No, they don't. No. Australians don't drink Foster's. That's the illusion they give Americans, so Americans will drink Foster's. Yeah.
Is it really like Australian Guinness for beer, though?
No. No, it's Australia for fuck all.
After word got out about this incident and a number of emus being killed, obviously, some people did speak up against emu extermination. And from the 1930s onward...
Please stop. Please. Can you stop? Please. What is this one person out here doing? Why does it say, I heart emus? Did somebody go hurt that human being?
From the 1930s onward... Exclusion barrier fencing became more
exclusion barrier
as a way of keeping out emus, rabbits, and dingoes.
So walls do work.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm gonna build a wall to stop all the emu. I can't do a Trump voice. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I liked it. It wasn't Trump.
But... I can't do it. I just can't do it.
And that was the I'm gonna emu war.
The Great Emu War.
The Great Emu
of the
War
1930s.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that. I really am going to walk around with a t-shirt that just says F U Emus.
Look at...
No, it's going to say F U Emos. And then people are going to be like, man, what do you got against us people who feel a lot? No, this is about the bird. I hate animals. And then be like, all right, that's cool. And I'll be like, ah, gotcha. You're not as feeling as you think you are.
Oh. Touche. Look up videos of emu migration and or the mice thing. It's incredible.
The mice thing, I've actually have seen stuff about that. Like, the mice thing is ridiculous. Even Simpsons, like, an old episode made a joke about that. Because, like, didn't, like, Bart, they went to Australia... And, like, they were talking about the whole swirling of the toilet goes a different way. And, like, Bart brought, like, this frog with him. And the frog was, like, not part of, like, you know, Australia. Yeah, and, like, all of a sudden there's frogs everywhere. And I think they hit him with sticks. I don't remember. I don't know.
Anyway.
Is Simpsons still on the air?
Yes, it is.
That's it.
All right. So where can they follow us? I mean, all two of them.
Instagram. Facebook, Twitter, Verbal Distillery.
On all the things.
Except all the for things. Twitter is Verbal Distiller, but, you know.
Ryan's going to be in Milwaukee doing some stand-up.
Will we?
Yeah, he's got some good material. He's got a hard five.
Yeah. A hard five?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might, you know.
Tickle his dickle.
Verbal Distillery at gmail.com.
All right, well. We're going to call this one.
We are going to call it.
And you've heard it. Now you can't unhear it.
I think you're the most amazing woman ever, but you're going to cut that out, so it doesn't matter.
No, wait, what? We'll
just like to say I'm starting a new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
With my friend Charles.
She's cheating on this. Charles has been on the air before.
Charles has been on the air. He's fun. It's called Mysterious AF, where we review paranormal, weird documentaries. Ryan's jealous that he's not part of this.
I'm not jelly, but thanks.
Podcast. But our release date is going to be August 1st, so check us out. Thanks.